Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, verses number 5 to 7. So the verse on the board, let's see what it is.
7
is on the board. Should I read 5 and 6 and then 7 altogether? Yes, fine. I'll start from 5 and we'll read text number 7 together. Yes?
Okay.
Text 5. With great delight, they all approached him as if life had returned to their bodies. They exchanged obeisances and welcomed each other with embraces. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. In the absence of consciousness, the limbs of the body remain inactive. But when consciousness returns, the limbs and senses become active, and existence itself becomes delightful. Vidura was so dear to the members of the Kaurava family that his long absence from the palace was comparable to inactivity. All of them were feeling acute separation from Vidura, and therefore his return to the palace was joyful for all. Number 6. Due to anxieties and long separation, they all cried out out of affection. King Yudhishthira then arranged to offer sitting accommodations and a reception. So now we move on to text 7. By Srila Prabhupada, by His Grace, Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. After Vidura ate sumptuously and took sufficient rest, he was comfortably seated, and then the king began to speak to him, and all who were present there listened. Purport. King Yudhishthira was expert in reception also, even in the case of his family members. Vidura was well received by all the family members by exchange of embraces and obeisances. After that, bathing and arrangements for a sumptuous dinner were made. And then he was given sufficient rest. After finishing his rest, he was offered a comfortable place to sit. And then the king began to talk about all happenings, both family and otherwise. That is the proper way to receive a beloved friend or even an enemy. According to Indian moral codes, even an enemy received at home should be so well received that he will not feel any fearful situation. An enemy is always afraid of his enemy, but this should not be so when he is received at home by his enemy. This means that a person who, when received at home, should be treated as a relative, so what to speak of a family member like Vidura, who was a well-wisher for all the members of the family. Thus Yudhishthira Maharaj began to speak in the presence of all the other members. Om Jnanam Timirandasya Jnanam Jnana Shalakaya Chakshur Anmulitam Yana Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Sya Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sagana Raditam Raghudantan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Rupa Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Sja Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namaste. Tapta Kanchana, Gorange, Radhe, Vrinda, Vaneshwari, Vrishabhanu, Sutta Devi, Pranamami, Haripya. Vancha Kalpatar, Vyascha, Kripa, Sindhu, Bayevacha, Patita, Nampa, Vanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namonama. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaurabhata Vindam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here basically we are describing Atithi Devo Bhava. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is very expert at welcoming anybody and everyone. And here is a very clear example how he is treating Vidura, who actually was offended, is the right word, by Duryodhan. Duryodhan, when he spoke harsh words to him that you're son of, you know, Sutrarani, and get out of here, basically, you know, what are you doing in this palace? So it's described that Vidur, then he takes his bow and arrow, he leaves it at the door, or side of the door, and walks out. And then he goes out on pilgrimage for a long time. And later on you will see that Vidur, being a pure self-realized person, he's actually turning places into places of pilgrimage. He has the potency to change all the places into places of pilgrimage. It will come in a few verses. So that's the power of a pure devotee. He can change. So in our case, you know, Srila Prabhupada, he traveled the world 14 times or 12 times, I'm not sure. But, you know, he made every place a place of pilgrimage. We are fortunate that one of the 10 places where Srila Prabhupada actually installed the deities is this Radha Gokulananda's installation. So we are very, very fortunate. So, and lately, His Holiness Maharaj is blessing my house. He's blessing my car, blessing everything, you know. Wherever we are going, we have been blessed. So, you know, it's being purified. My car is purified. My house is purified. My son is purified behind you. So everyone who becomes associated with Maharaj, you get purified. And we are all blessed to have his presence today. Yes? So this is the power of pure devotees. So coming back to the main point here of Yudhishthira Maharaj welcoming Vidura. Yudhishthira Maharaj was worried that Arjun did not come back from Dwarka. This is just setting the scene. Arjun was not coming back. So he's worried, and obviously he's very happy to now see Vidura coming back, you know, to the place, because he knows everything, Vidura. So what is happening, he wanted to know. And so after a long journey, then Yudhishthira Maharaj actually tells me, welcome, come, rest, have prasadam, etc. You know? So this is the way to treat a guest. But in the Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada mentions, even an enemy should also be treated like this. So in the Mahabharata, Krishna cleverly tells Arjun that there are some 5 arrows which Duryodhana has got, and he is going to give it to Bhismadev to finish all of you, basically, you know. So Krishna then tells Arjun, why don't you go to your brother, you know, Duryodhana, and he will give you some benediction or something, you know, because he's older than you. So actually, Arjun listens to the directions, and they have a fight always in the daytime, but the rule, Kshatriya rule, is in the evening it's all homely. You don't worry about the fight. So when Arjun actually went to Duryodhana's place, Duryodhana welcomed him. Although he was his enemy, but Duryodhana welcomed him. And then this was all trick and plan of Lord Krishna. So Arjun then, after Duryodhana asked, what can I do for you? So he said, give me those 5 arrows. So this is a plan of Lord Krishna. So, but the point is, Duryodhana also welcomed nicely. So this is the lesson to learn from my understanding. So I'll hand you over to His Holiness Jayadvata Swami Maharaj to explain further. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Is that all right, Maharaj?
Om Jnana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurn Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Shapadantikam. Thank you very much to Swayam Jyoti Krishna Prabhu, speaking very nicely. As he quoted, Atithi Devo Bhava. Atithi means a guest, especially uninvited guest. Atithi is an occasion, and Atithi means no occasion, he just dropped in. So how should such a guest be treated? Atithi Devo Bhava. He should be treated like a demigod or like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Deva. Atithi Devo Bhava. That's the principle. And here we see that Yudhisthira arranges for feeding him very nicely and then arranging for him to take rest, then seated very comfortably. Not that immediately pumping him for information, what's been going on, what's the news. No, considering first what will please the guest, what will satisfy the guest, what are the needs of the guest. So he's treating him just like a demigod, or just as we might treat Krishna with so much respect. Atithi Devo Bhava. And then he'll take advantage of Srinvatam, the opportunity to hear from Vidura. As Swayam Jyoti mentioned, Vidura left the palace. Actually, he was the well-wisher of everyone, but then he was insulted, and he took it as a kindness. That, very good. Now I've got my excuse. I can leave this, the intrigues and the all the complicated politics of this palace. And he went on pilgrimage, and that's where he met Maitreya Muni, and their extensive discussions are recorded in Bhagavatam. So now he's coming back, not because he's homesick, but to benefit the members of the Kaurava dynasty. He tried to benefit them earlier, but the Duryodhana wouldn't listen, of course. Dhritarashtra wouldn't listen. Now they've been Duryodhana has been killed, Dhritarashtra's been wiped out, all of his sons have been killed, everything he hoped to achieve was smashed. And therefore he's a better person to listen. And sometimes when we're strong and powerful and we have everything we need, then we don't want to listen to anyone. But if we get devastated, then we may be a little bit more open to hearing. So now, after so many years, Vidura is returning. And as mentioned in the previous verses, everyone felt as if they'd gotten their life back. Vidura had been the well-wisher of everyone. The very dear brother of Dhritarashtra and the well-wisher of the Pandavas, the well-wishing uncle, and dear to everyone at the court. Then he suddenly just walked out. And so now when he's returning, it's a great occasion. Everyone is so delighted and overwhelmed with feeling for Vidura. And now, in the coming, this is the prelude, Vidura will speak words of spiritual realization, especially meant to benefit his older brother. The Yudhisthira company didn't really need to be instructed because they were already on the exalted platform of pure devotional service. But Dhritarashtra had become, bewildered by the... had always been bewildered, and now he's living in frustration as the... or in bewilderment as the royal uncle of Yudhisthira in the house where he'd offended everyone and conspired against them. So he was living, as Vidura will say, like a dog, taking scraps from Bhima, who killed his favorite son. So just to rescue Dhritarashtra from this degradation, Vidura returned. And he'll speak words of enlightenment. Actually, Vidura is famous for his instructions. Even before meeting Maitreya Muni, he was renowned for his sharp discrimination and his knowledge of niti, ethical principles. But now, even more so. So he'll speak to extricate this poor, bewildered Dhritarashtra from his holding on needlessly to a false sense of who he was, holding on to the comforts of palace life, holding on to a kind of false honor that wasn't honorable at all. This is all possible for a saintly person like Vidura. A saintly person's not meant to flatter the audience, please their senses and say things that'll make them feel good about themselves. He's meant to speak the truth. He's meant to speak the truth. And that truth may be cutting also. Not just that it's pleasing to hear and full of nice applesauce. But it may be very bitter even. Truth is not always sweet. Sometimes it's bitter to hear. But bitter medicine is also very effective. Just like for liver diseases, there's various kinds of bitter medicine, Calmag and bitter. But that bitter medicine is what you need. So Vidura will speak words that are cutting and strong, but that's necessary. One time, Srila Prabhupada was explaining to one guest the verse, Namam Duskrita Namudha Prapadyante Naratama. Maya Pratigyana Asura Pavamashrita. And explaining word by word the pejorative meanings of each of these words. And he said, sometimes strong words are needed to awaken a sleeping man. Sometimes strong words are needed to awaken a sleeping man. But Krishna himself speaks very strongly, he doesn't mince words. Duskrita Namudha Naradama, lowest among men, Maya Pratigyana, a person who appears to be learned but whose learning has been stolen by illusion, and Asura Bhava, demonic. Krishna speaks very strongly, and therefore the representative of Krishna is duty bound to repeat what Krishna says. He also speaks strongly sometimes. That's necessary. It's the duty, because who will say these things? Everybody will say, oh, you're so nice. Oh, grandfather, we're so grateful that you're here. Oh, and touch your feet and so many things. But somebody has to do the job of saying, you're living like a dog. You're in such degradation. You look at you, your teeth are falling out, you're coughing up mucus, you're blind spiritually and materially. You're living at the mercy of others. What's the difference between you and a dog? Someone has to say that for the benefit of the person who hears. One time there was he became a great friend of ISKCON in Bombay, Mr. P.L., I think, Sethi, who was in the construction business. And he came and to have darshan of Prabhupada, and, you know, very respectful. So Prabhupada said, so what are you doing? And Mr. Sethi said, well, I'm doing this work, and I'm supporting my family, and so on. Prabhupada said, what's the difference between you and a pig? The pig is also working. The pig is also supporting his family. What's the difference between you and a pig? So Mr. Sethi took it seriously. What's the difference between me and a pig? And he took became a great supporter of ISKCON in Bombay. That's another whole story, how he sat with his shotgun while the devotees rebuilt the temple overnight. But Prabhupada spoke very strongly. And that was Prabhupada's mood, that he liked to speak strongly. Not that he would just aimlessly and recklessly throw insults around. Prabhupada told a story one time of the horse that ate a watermelon, and the watermelon became stuck in his throat, and the horse had a hard time breathing. So they didn't know what had happened, so they called the vet, and the vet came and took a hammer and smashed the horse on the throat. And so the watermelon broke up, and the horse was fine. So then there was some other person. He wasn't really a veterinarian, but he saw what the veterinarian did. So when there'd be a sick horse, he'd come and he'd volunteer to help, and he'd smash the horse on the neck, and the horse would die. And as he was killing horses, gradually it came to the knowledge of the veterinarian. The veterinarian said, you fool. That horse had a watermelon. It's these horses. It's something else. So the expert person has to know. He has to be, as Krishna is a judge of time, place, and circumstances, the devotee has to be a judge of time, place, and circumstances, know what to speak to whom, when. But we saw that Prabhupada so often would speak very, very strongly. Very, very strongly. There was some instance, Prabhupada was in Philadelphia, and there was a professor, one Dr. Sharma, who was teaching Hinduism, I think, at the local university. So, again, very respectful, and spoke to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, so what are you doing? No, I'm teaching Hinduism. So Prabhupada said, so what is this Hinduism? And the man said, well, I don't really know exactly. Said something humble like that. So Swarup Damodar Maharaj was there, and Prabhupada said, Swarup Damodar, what is a person who acting as a teacher, but doesn't really know. So it was a cue in Bhakti Swarup Damodar's, it once said, "Cheater, Srila Prabhupada." And Prabhupada said, "Our Dr. Swarup Damodar has said that you are a cheater." The instances can be multiplied. The examples can be multiplied so many times. Prabhupada would speak very strongly, not just patting people on the back and making them feel good, but speaking what they needed to hear to awaken from the sleeping condition. Kota nidra jalmaya pisachi rakole. What is that? In that verse, the same thing sort of said, that you're wasting your life. You're during the night, you're just sleeping, and during the day, you're uselessly decorating your bodies. When are you going to wake up and worship Yashoda Sutta, son of Yashoda Mayi? This human life is very short. It can't be wasted in this way. Jeev jago, jeev jago. Gaura chandra bole kota nidra jao maya pisa. How long will you go on sleeping on the lap of maya, this witch? So these things are said very openly. Very openly, because people need to hear this message. Jesus Christ also said to his disciples, "You're the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its taste, then what's the use of it?" So, bland salt is useless. So the devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement, or the preachers of Krishna consciousness, are meant to speak the truth. It doesn't have to be deliberately offensive. One has to know how and when. But the truth needs to be delivered. If we don't deliver the truth, then we're like bland salt, no value. Another time, Prabhupada visited the Indian consulate in New York, some visa business, I think, along with our Kirti Raj Prabhu, and speaking with the official there, and spoke to him very, very strongly. And then later, after they left the building, Prabhupada said to Kirti Raj, he said, "I can speak that way because I am old man. So he has to give me respect." He said, "You cannot do that." So again, it's a question of judgment. But one has to find the ways and means to deliver the message of Krishna full strength for the benefit of the needy conditioned souls. If we're just nice to them and they go on rotting in material existence, that's not something for us to be proud of. Our job is to rescue them from the lap of the witch Maya. All right, we can stop here and take some questions.